Blog Talk Radio.
Attention, Army Wives, fall in. You've come to the right place. Army Wife Talk Radio is the leading and longest-running podcast of its kind, providing the latest reports, stories, interviews, and more to encourage and empower you on your military spouse journey. For Army Wives, by Army Wives. Now, here are your hosts, the Army Wife Network core team.
Welcome to Army Wife Talk Radio. I'm your host, Crystal Niehoff. Are you a military spouse struggling to keep your career going while juggling all the competing demands of military life? Our featured guest tonight, Dr. Michelle Still Mehta, will join us to share how her book, Silent Sacrifice on the Home Front, offers a glimpse into the lives of other military spouses who have faced the same challenges and reflects candidly about the good, the bad, and the ugly of their experiences. And in just a few moments, our News 6 Wendy will report on some great news about our commissaries.
And I'm your co-host, Molly Ritterbeck. Today is Monday, April 8th, 2019, and this is our 686th show. AWTR is the leading and longest-running podcast of its kind.
If you're listening to our show live right now, we're hanging out on Twitter and would love to chat with you. Tweet us at Army Wife Network and use hashtag Army Wife to join in the conversation. Links to all the resources we mentioned tonight will be posted in our Twitter feed and in the comments section below this podcast on blogtalkradio.com.
Tonight's show is brought to you by AWTR show sponsor, One Natural Way. Every expecting mom is busy preparing for baby, but military moms often face unique challenges all their own. And that's why One Natural Way specializes in making it easy for military families to get a breast pump and breastfeeding supplies as well as personalized support. Only One Natural Way can offer no upgrade fees on any Modelo or a customizable monthly supply program and free lactation consultations to ensure breastfeeding success. One Natural Way has helped thousands of military families throughout their breastfeeding journey. See how they can help you by visiting www.thenumberonenaturalway.com. That's www.onenaturalway.com to get started today.
Okay, so last week was April Fool's. Did you get to prank anybody, or did anybody get one over on you?
You know, actually that day came and went pretty effortlessly. I was not the victim of any pranks, nor did I pull any, but I did a few that, you know, did me a good chuckling that day. How about you, Crystal?
Well, this is probably the first time I really didn't plan anything out. I've been so busy, you know, and I love to be kind of ornery, and so I'll usually plan something out on my kids or on my husband or something, and they're usually pranking me, but it's just been so busy that it just kind of came and went, and it was later that day I'm like, oh, it's April Fool's Day, and I just totally forgot about it, and then it was too late. Everybody was in bed, so.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. So catch us up then on what else is going on in your life. Any interesting news or happenings in the Ritterbeck household?
Well, I have been a part of our Community Spouses Club here at Fort Benning, and I was the spring auction chair this year for our spring auction, where we raise money for scholarships and grants that benefit those in the Fort Benning community. And I know you guys are aware, because Army Wife Network was one of our amazing sponsors to help get the evening, you know, taken care of. And we had fun. It was Rock of Ages theme, so it was rock through the, you know, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and now. And a great DJ, a great crowd. We had a super turnout. We were right at 100 people, and every item had a bid. Nothing went unsold. And after we paid out our expenses and stuff, we were right around $7,000, a little over $7,000 that we came home with. So it was amazing that we can give that right back out to our community. And, I mean, it was fun, and I couldn't have asked for anything better.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, Army Wife Network was proud to be a sponsor. And would you tell us, though, a little bit about the Spouses Club? A lot of Army posts do have a Spouses Club, and a lot of people don't know that you all give back to several charitable organizations and scholarships.
So, yeah, so the Community Spouses Club here at Fort Benning is a mixture of officer and enlisted spouses. I know, you know, it used to be separate, but some people don't realize that it's not anymore at a lot of the posts. And we come together once a month, and we have a luncheon where we either have, you know, a speaker that comes with a great topic to inform us. Like last month, we were given History of Women at Fort Benning over 100 years. It was just so cool They were able to tell us things about our post that, like in some of the houses, there's these random posts in the front yard. Turns out that it was either A, for groceries that were delivered from the commissary back in the day, or it was where people would hitch their horses. So we got to, just the coolest things we get to learn about. And we get to be around people we might not be just because we're on opposite sides of the post or whatnot. And then every month we do donations, collect to give donations back, whether it's for our tornado victims that we had in the area, or we have our Battle Buddy Resource Center that provides items to people who are in need that are in our community. And then we also do a lot of different things. It just depends on the month. There's a different theme. But we do try to give back to our rising seniors and those continuing their education and businesses that are supportive of our community as well. And so it is neat. I've got to meet a lot of people, do a lot of things. And if you have it at your post, I highly suggest checking it out.
It's a great way to get connected to other military spouses, and, you know, it's hard to, when you PCS to a new post and to find new friends, and this is a neat way because everyone's in the same boat. Everyone has had to walk in by themselves at some point,
yep.
And so usually they're welcoming, and I've not been to one that just hasn't been like, hey, come on in, join us, and then you'll sit at a table, and everybody is anxious to make friends just like you are. So it's always been so fun to be involved with the Spouses Club. So that is so cool. So news on my end before we move on with the show.
Yeah.
I've been talking a lot about my grandbaby that was on the way, and so good news, she was born. She made her entrance into the world March 3rd, quite quickly. So my daughter did have to be induced, but from the time they started the Pitocin to the time Darcy was born was an hour and a half. So
that's amazing.
We were all shocked, including the nurses and the doctors. So, but she's healthy.
Oh, yeah.
She's beautiful, of course. And so we're just so glad that she's here and healthy and safe, and mama's doing well. So I'm a proud grandma.
My
third. So I have two others, Lexi and Nolan. And Nolan is the big brother. And so he's taking to being a big brother very well for a two-year-old. So
We're excited.
We're excited.
Yeah.
So, it is time now for us to take up next. We'll find out what our new 6 Wendy has for us this week. Some exciting news from our commissaries, so be sure to stay tuned. We'll be right back.
How can I help my daughter with her reading?
Searching for help with dachshund breeding.
How can I help my daughter with her reading?
Information on hot water heating.
No, Sarah's bright, but when she's reading, she has trouble sounding out the words.
World Music, playing track now.
No.
Let me try. Our daughter gets confused about which details in a story are important.
Which paper towels are most absorbent?
What?
Here are five product reviews.
Why are you not getting me?
See, I told you.
Wait, I was trying to show you how Sarah feels every day. Frustrating, isn't it? Redirecting to understood.org.
For the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues, this is what life can feel like. Explore understood.org, a free online resource about learning and attention issues, designed to help your child thrive in school and in life. Understood.org, because understanding is everything.
Brought to you by understood.org and the Ad Council.
Our life, our family, our soldier. News you can use. Now with our headlines, it's time for your Army Wife Talk Radio Live News 6 report.
Welcome back, listeners. We have our News 6 Wendy on the line, bringing us your need-to-know news. Hey, Wendy, what have you got for us this week?
Hi there, Crystal and Molly. This week, I have fabulous news involving commissaries. For those who love grocery pickup at national chain grocery stores and places like Walmart and Target, the hot news right now is how the commissary is jumping on that bandwagon, too.
That is amazing, and I have heard a little bit about this already, but what can you tell us about this new program?
The commissary's click-to-go online and curbside pickup service is offered in select locations currently, but they do have plans to expand it.
Well, I have to say that I'm so excited about this. I've really missed it since we've been in Hawaii, the one that they had at Walmart that I in Texas that I used all the time. So this totally excites me. And, you know, really, this can really help busy military families, especially those moms who have a spouse deployed and kiddos at home. So tell us, Wendy, how does Click2Go work?
According to commissaries.com website, the first thing you do is access the Click2Go from your computer, and this site can be accessed from a mobile device, but it's not optimized for mobile use, so probably better on laptop or desktop. Number two, choose your commissary location, validate your commissary privileges, and log in. Register an account if you need to. Number three, you search for products by name or select the department and category links to browse the virtual aisles. Add notes both as you shop and at checkout to make sure that they know exactly what you want. Number four, complete your checkout, and when finished, you choose your pickup time. And number five, pick up and pay for your order at your commissary's curbside pickup point. Your military ID or authorized agent card will be required. There is a minimum six-hour lead time from the time of the order to the time of curbside pickup. Payment is collected at curbside pickup and must be done with a credit card or bank card. Cash, check, and food stamps cannot be used for this service. Your total payment may be slightly different, either higher or lower than your estimated total shown online due to random weight items such as produce and meat. Additionally, the pricing policy, which is similar to that of retail grocery chains providing the service, is to charge you the item price in effect on the day and time of pickup. There is no fee to use Click2Go and no minimum order size or minimum dollar amount required.
That sounds simple enough. Where is Click2Go offered currently?
Currently, Click2Go is offered at Fort Eustis, Fort Lee, Offutt Air Force Base, and Travis Air Force Base. So just a few locations right now, but they do plan to offer it in more places. So I cannot wait until the service expands to my area here at Fort Bragg. I haven't actually used this service anywhere before, but I can imagine how much it will be helpful for military spouses at a variety of duty stations, especially for those new moms and people like me who have a baby on the way and know that my shopping routines might be changing a little bit in the future. So having a service like this will be a really big blessing.
Oh, I'm sure it will. Well, thank you, Wendy, for this exciting news. And like you said, it really will help many busy military families, which, like me and you, who isn't busy these days? So thank you for bringing us this information.
You bet.
Well, Molly, tell us what's going on at AWN this week.
Absolutely. Trending on our experience blog this week, Emma Teague pens a blog post to the new young Army wife. Emma says, "I know your story. They're all, of course, unique, but the blueprint is the same. Fell in love. Got married right out of high school. If not then, maybe a year or two later. Maybe he was already a soldier. Maybe he took that leap with his hand already intertwined with yours. And maybe you were wearing the uniform yourself. The one consistent fact is that the life you have chosen is a daunting one. You will be called crazy and naive. You will hear horror stories, but those stories are not yours. Sure, not all young marriages end well, especially in this crazy lifestyle, but none of those are yours. You and your spouse get to make your own story with way more chapters than most. People will question your decision. They will say that you aren't done growing. How can you marry someone you may be completely different in a decade? What about you? What if the things that define you as a person change into something that is no longer compatible with your spouse's? That may happen, but what if it doesn't? You can read more by going to armywifenetwork.com and look for Emma's blog post to the new young Army wife. And hot on our social media, we asked our fans, of all the duty stations your children have lived at, which was their favorite and why? Listeners, please don't forget to share your child's favorite by going to our AWN Facebook page or Twitter feed. A direct link is also being posted in our Twitter feed and below this podcast on blogtalkradio.com. My kids really liked Brag for the most part. What about you, Crystal? Did your kids have a favorite one?
Well, interestingly, I think they really liked Fort Sill in Oklahoma, and they just made a lot of friends there, connected there. They loved their school there. I think that, and a lot of their friends they are still friends with. So, I think they've really. The other one, Fort Hood, may have been a toss-up for my daughter because she made a really close friend at Fort Hood, and they are pen pals, and
cool.
And they still chat back and forth, and I love that she's 14 now and she still gets these pen pal letters. It is so
that
neat
is cool.
To see that they've continued that friendship. So why would your kids choose Bragg?
So that's where their first home was and where their first best friends were. And we still go back there to visit because we're still friends with a lot of people. Because we didn't live on Post. We lived north of Post because I worked even farther north. And so the people that they met there are still there. So that was like a strange, change for them when we moved from there onto a Post in Alaska. And they liked Alaska, but they still have those first friends at Bragg.
I really think that means a lot because Sill is really my kids' first friends as well as military kids. So before that, they weren't military kids. We had geobatched with my husband. We hadn't lived on Post, so... And that was really their first real experience as military kids. So, I think that is and there's also lessons learned there because I think Sill is probably my favorite as a spouse because I learned so much. That was my first, where I really was enmeshed in the military spouse culture, and I learned so much from other military spouses who were my mentors. So I think that really means a lot. So.
Yeah, I think those first times really get you.
Yeah, and they make memories. And the kids were still pretty young, too. So, you said that your kids kind of, Alaska was different. My kids have kind of felt the same way with Hawaii. You know, we thought we'd be, and we were. We've enjoyed it here. But I think it's just felt so far away from our family and at Sill. For instance, we were 6 hours away, which seemed like a long way away from family until now when we're like 3,000 miles away. So what do you think that your kids were feeling when you went to Alaska.
It was exactly that, because you have the time difference, you have the distance, and it's just one of those places where people can't just pick up and come to see you like they could when we were at Bragg. I think my husband's mom came down probably once a month to once every other month, and she did come to Alaska twice. I mean, I can't complain, but it just, it wasn't the same.
Totally, I totally get it. Yeah, it's even just PCSing off of Hawaii. Anywhere else on the mainland, we could just throw some bags in the back of the van and head down the road to wherever we're going. But this time, it's just a major ordeal to get on or off the island, even just to vacation back on the mainland, so totally.
Well,
it.
I was going to say, even vacations, you know, weekend trips, we could go to other states when we're at North Carolina or when we're here, but in Alaska, we went 8 hours and you're still in Alaska, and I mean, this is where you went.
So true. It feels a little isolating here, but I'm from Kansas originally, so I feel, you know, people talk about being landlocked in Kansas. I feel waterlocked, like I'm surrounded by ocean, and it's only a few miles. I think it's something like 45 miles across Oahu. There is no road tripping on Oahu. It's unless it's sitting in traffic. You know, you just kind of got to make the most of every duty station, but we do have our favorites. And when I asked my kids that, I found out quickly they have their favorites and they love to talk about it. So ask your kids what their favorite is, and be sure to go over on our Facebook or Twitter page and share with us, because we would love to hear it. And it is Month of the Military Child. So it's also public service announcement time. Do you or your business have a military-related PSA? We limit them to one per show and ask for them in advance. Submit your PSA by emailing them to info@armywifenetwork.com. I scream, you scream, we all scream for military kids. April 13th, the Army and Air Force Exchange Service is celebrating Purple Up Day, a worldwide recognition of the strength and sacrifice of military children, by offering free treats to any child wearing purple at participating exchange restaurants. Free treats are valid April 13th only. Any child 18 or younger who wears purple is eligible to receive one free treat while supplies last. Purple Up Day is held annually during Month of the Military Child, which recognizes the contributions of warfighters' children to the armed forces community. And did you know that the color purple symbolizes the combined colors of all military branches? Army Green, Navy Blue, Marine Red, Coast Guard Blue, and Air Force Blue. So for more information about your nearest exchange, visit shopmyexchange.com/exchange-stores. That's it for our PSA. Up next, Michelle Still Mehta joins us to share about her book, Silent Sacrifice on the Home Front. We'll be right back after this short break.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Abdullah, and on behalf of the Army Surgeon General, this is your Army Medicine, Be As Healthy As You Can Be, Health Minute. This month, we're talking sexual assault prevention. The Army's 2019 Sexual Assault Awareness and Prevention Month theme is SHARP, Shaping a Culture of Trust. Protecting our people protects our mission. Army medicine is fostering a culture of dignity and respect for every soldier and Army civilian. You can make a difference by speaking up against sexist, racist, and sexual orientation jokes, remarks, and music. Confront abusive behavior. Step in if someone is doing something that could lead to sexual assault. Educate yourself about sexual violence. Together, we can work to reduce, with the goal of eliminating sexual assault from the Army. Army Medicine, one team, one purpose, conserving the fighting strength since 1775.
product or service to offer our listeners?
Reach thousands of military families worldwide via Army Wife Network.
ArmyWifeNetwork.com has a limited number of sponsorship opportunities available.
Visit ArmyWifeNetwork.com/sponsorship
or email us at info@ArmyWifeNetwork.com for details.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. I'm Crystal Niehoff.
And I'm Molly Ritterbeck.
Our guest tonight is Michelle Still Mehta, Dr. Mehta, PhD. Dr. Mehta is a consultant, researcher, writer, and coach specializing in military spouse employment, the psychology of working life, and organizational change.
Through her writing, Dr. Mehta hopes to promote open dialogue and positive culture change within the military community. She is also an Air Force spouse and resides with her family in the Washington, D.C. area. Welcome to the show, Dr. Mehta.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Yeah, thank you for joining us today. If you don't mind, go ahead and take a moment to introduce yourself and to tell us what prompted you to write Silent Sacrifice on the Home Front.
Sure. Well, I was just listening into your conversation about favorite duty stations, and my family and I recently PCS'd from Hickam Air Force Base in Hawaii, and our favorite duty station over all the 19 years of our marriage has definitely been that one in Hawaii. So we're still adjusting to life back on the mainland and really missing our island life. Aloha to you out there.
Aloha.
Interesting to hear
and
different
mahalo
perspectives
for being here tonight.
Thank you. So as you said, I'm an Air Force spouse currently in D.C., getting towards the end of our military career. So I'm an old timer. When I got married almost 20 years ago, I already had a career going in management consulting. And I noticed I had no experience with military life whatsoever. It was just total fluke that I met my husband, who happened to be in the Air Force already and on his path, and I was on mine. And I found that back then I really didn't know other career-oriented spouses, or at least it wasn't something that we shared overtly. So I felt like I was really kind of alone and unusual in that struggle. And along the way, went back to graduate school to earn my doctorate, partly as a way of providing more flexibility for myself, went back to school when my kids were little, and also wanted to build an independent consulting practice that would be something portable I could take with me to different assignments. So I went and did that, studying for selfish reasons, but along the way, really found a calling for helping other military spouses because I ended up studying military spouse employment and wanted to research really other people like me. What did it feel like to be a military spouse who wanted to be employed and maybe was sometimes, wasn't others, but tried to sort of maintain that throughout the military journey. So that's what I looked at in my research and ended up interviewing Air Force wives when I was based in Ramstein, Germany, about that topic. And it turned into this book, Silent Sacrifice on the Home Front, really because I felt so compelled to share the stories that people confided in me. And by the way, all the names in the book are totally fictitious, so I don't want anybody to feel like, oh, why did you reveal who that person is? Definitely an anonymous study. But what my participants told me after that we went through this interview process, a lot of them said, I feel so much better knowing that I'm not crazy and I'm not alone. And so what I wanted to do was make this more than just a check the box. I did the dissertation, got my degree, but really share it with my community, with our fellow military spouses, so that other people might pick it up and say, wow, I'm not crazy and I'm not alone. And also kind of balance out that narrative that I think we've all been trained to show the outside world of being strong and resilient and positive and which is all very true. We can all do anything. We can all like bounce back and be creative and reinvent ourselves. But I think so often when we go on social media, all we see are those stories of, look how awesome this spouse was. Well, why can't I do that? And so I think it's really healthy and important to show kind of the underbelly too. Like, let's put it out there and show that this is not all about adventure and glory and resilience, but sometimes it's about just feeling defeated and not knowing where to go next. And yeah, you're going to pick yourself up and find a path forward, but showing each other that it's okay to be in that space is important too. So that's really where this all came from. And it's all stories of people's career paths as a military spouse.
Yeah. And, you know, some of those things that you mentioned, you know, not feeling like you're crazy, feeling that you're not alone and just picking yourself back up. Those are definitely some key things, even though sometimes it can be rough, but we can get through it. But I mean, those right there are some big ones. But what are some other key takeaways that you learned from your research?
Sure. Well, the main thing that I developed out of the research is kind of a framework in working with military spouses that I call the three M's: marriage, motherhood, and military life. And basically what this says is the military spouses who are happiest with their lives and fitting their career or employment into that life are people who make a real mindful effort of saying, how does this fit my marriage? How does this fit my parenting needs? And how does it fit the craziness of my military life? And really, it's important, instead of just saying, like, I went to school to be a lawyer or an accountant, or, you know, I've, you know, been this all my life, really take a hard look and say, what fits for me now and what fits for me in the long run? So that's the sort of glue that holds my book together and holds the stories together, is that ebb and flow of how do you find fit among those pieces.
And I mean, you're speaking my language right now. Because, you know, and we all go through our different cycles of life too as well, you know. This is awesome. Like, I'm loving this.
But okay.
In going through, you know, your research and meeting all the different people, what was there anything that really stood out to you as something that you learned by connecting with other military spouses other than you're not crazy or alone?
Well, you know, I would say it was really humbling for me because I discovered really quickly I wasn't really all that special or unusual like I thought I had been. Like, there are all these other spouses. In fact, the majority of us want or have some sort of professional identity. And it struck me that it's like it is changing now, sort of with the times and the younger generation, I would say. But there's still like so much of that we hide from from our peers, either not wanting to brag or not feeling like it's part of what fits in military culture. But I did really discover that this is something that each one of us has to grapple with, which is, where does that fit in my life, along with the military identity and the family roles that we play. And so I learned that the reason why I called this silent sacrifice is that so many of the women I talked to said they just don't speak about this, and that although for many of them who have chosen to at least deprioritize or sometimes give up altogether on a career, that they don't want to, they don't know how to share that pain with other people, including the man they're married to. I've actually had interview participants say, could you send me my transcript? I'm just going to have my husband read this because I never know how to explain what this feels like. And to be able to sort of put that into words and say, I don't regret this. I love you. And I'm so proud of your service. And yet I've given up a big part of myself to do this, and it hurts. And I don't know what to do about that.
Yes, that is it. I think too, you know, we want our kids to be so resilient with all the changes that happen.
Sure.
And I think sometimes we don't give ourselves the permission to be resilient in that. And that can sometimes wear on you.
Yeah, and there's a cumulative effect. Yeah.
Yeah. This is Crystal, and just to pop in real fast, because this really strikes a chord with me. I was a child welfare worker before I married my husband and moved to our first duty station, which was out of state, and I really felt like I lost my identity, and I hadn't realized how much my identity was tied up in my career, and so this really hits home with me. So thank you for telling our story. I feel like you're really telling the story of every military spouse out there.
Thank you, and, you know, I started out really interested in kind of that career-oriented spouse. But what I found was this applies, just like you said, this applies to all of us because we all have some sort of identity that we want for ourselves, whether that's, you know, whether we choose to pursue employment or not. And being able to find an outlet for that is really important, regardless of what choices we make about whether to stay home for periods of time or maybe even to stay out of the workforce altogether. It's something we all have to grapple with.
Yeah, it is. Your book, Silent Sacrifice on the Home Front, being an Air Force spouse, is this book based on research with Air Force wives, or is it also with Army wives? How does it apply to Army wives, or is it just kind of for everyone?
So I did, my research was exclusively with Air Force wives, partly just, you know, to be able to sort of structure a study that met certain criteria. I had to kind of narrow things down a little bit. And it was an audience I could reach where I happened to be in Germany at the time. However, I really do think that the experiences in these stories are universal military spouse experiences. Just kind of looking at the research that a lot of other military social scientists have done, I think one major difference between Air Force and Army experience is that Air Force doesn't deploy nearly as much as you guys. So, I mean, I'll you know, totally admit that. I think we are more sort of impacted by the frequent PCSing, and our deployments are not as frequent or as long. But I think the same concept of having to negotiate military life and the impact that that has is very similar. It might just be a matter of degree. And I also think that one of my interview participants coined a phrase that I love, which is called being a married single mom. And, you know, it's like, whether your spouse is TDY or deployed or, you know, just happens to have a crazy op-tempo job where he's never there, you're the one that has to pick up all the stuff. You're the one that has to be the glue at home. And that's so much of what's behind this framework is how do you manage that aspect of military life and still have something for yourself? So I think that that applies to all branches to, you know, in one way or another.
So true. And, you know, really across the board research has shown that military deployment really is a concern with nearly all, or, you know, the majority of military spouses. So,
yes,
Dr. Mehta,
for sure.
Is military spouse unemployment and even underemployment a problem that you think that realistically we can solve?
I do think it can be solved. I don't think it's an easy problem to solve, but I think, so I went to a symposium recently. One of the great things about being in our nation's capital is getting to go to things where policymakers are talking about this topic, and was sitting in on a panel where Senator Kaine from Virginia was talking about military spouse employment and how he started off by saying, we measure what we care about. And he said, basically, I was shocked to learn we don't really care as a nation about military spouse employment, and we don't really measure it because of that. The Defense Department only measures spouse unemployment once every 2 years, and it takes over a year for them to issue their results. So that means on a 3 year, every 3 year we get an update versus like the civilian population where you get a monthly figure or veterans unemployment. And he was comparing this and saying, if we decided we cared about veterans unemployment, so guess what? We fixed it. We need to do the same thing with military spouse unemployment, and it shouldn't be any harder. We just need to choose to care. And I think that's really wise and really will take, I think, a commitment to say it's not just about throwing jobs at spouses, but it's about looking at the root causes and deciding what we can do to really make this lifestyle realistic for two-income couples. So I think there are things that can be done, but it starts with believing that it's possible and making the commitment to reach that goal.
That really is so true. And, you know, there's a saying that goes, you're only as strong as your weakest link. And we forget that. And I think our lawmakers forget that the family is really the backbone and the strength of the military service member. And that, you know, and then his or her strength then is the strength of our country. So really working on this problem, I feel, of military spouse unemployment or underemployment really needs to be one of their key goals, or at least personally speaking. What can we ourselves do then to make a difference within the military spouse community?
Yeah, well, just kind of piggybacking on that policy piece, for one thing, vote for people who care about this issue. You know, hold our policymakers accountable. Our votes count. And if you happen to be employed, educate your employers about the importance of integrating military spouses and, you know, showing what we can do. But even more basic than that, there's sort of real simple activism, if you will, within our own community by just sharing our own stories. It doesn't have to be in a book or a blog or, you know, it's just a matter of making an effort, I think, to be a little more transparent where, you know, if you're a member of a spouse club, I think traditionally, and I've been, you know, members of spouse clubs over the years in many different places, and we still, I'll just speak from the Air Force experience, you walk into that gathering and suddenly it's like it's all about your military connections and you somehow leave a part of yourself at the door. So maybe challenging ourselves to bring that professional side to the forefront and ask each other about it as well. So, you know, what do you want to do with the next assignment? If you had your choice, what would you be doing with yourself? And mentoring also for those of us getting up there, mentoring younger spouses in that way as well. You know, for spouses coming into the military, they don't expect to give up their careers these days. It is really a norm to be able to pursue that. It's not like when I married in where literally my husband's commander said, well, you could probably work for a few years, but then you're going to eventually have to give it up, you know, really explicitly giving those instructions. So times are changing, but I think the most important thing we can do is to share our stories and to be honest about that, both with each other, our civilian friends to raise awareness, and again, holding our policymakers accountable and saying, if you want us to serve, this is something that's got to change.
Wow, great, great advice. You know, instead of not speaking about it, as you had said that one of the spouses had said, we need to start talking about it and make it put that conversation out there on the table. So, and it does seem like we really are progressing and it's getting better. So
I did want to go back
real fast before we have to take a quick break. You mentioned earlier about the three M's. Would you expand more on that, marriage, motherhood, and military life, and what you mean by that?
Sure. So the concept is whatever you choose for employment or a role for yourself, it has to fit three components of your life. One, your marriage. And that is, you and your spouse have to be on the same page about what it's going to take to pursue both of your careers, not just his. So if you have plans for yourself, don't just run off and put your resume together or a business plan or what have you, but sit down and say, really work through, does this fit for us? And this is the support we're going to need to provide each other for this to work. Even, you know, basic things like how the household stuff is going to get done. That can make or break your career or your sanity. On motherhood, similarly, you know, it's about being honest with yourself about what you want out of parenting. If you're a new mom or if your kids are still, you know, young, preschool, elementary school, being honest with yourself about what you want there. Because some women really want to be time at an office or a workplace so they can recharge and then be back with their kids, whereas others can't stand the thought of being away and missing anything. So it's important to know what matters to you rather than try to go based on what you think other people think is right. We get so many messages about that as moms and get judged. It's really important to decide what's best for you and your family. And then on the military life piece, it's looking at your particular slice of that. Are you going to expect to move around a lot? Are you going to face a bunch of deployments? What's your spouse's work schedule going to be like? Really, what do you have to be able to be ready to handle? And even sort of what's the time horizon? You know, are you in for a 20-year career or is this, you know, a couple of assignments and then move on to something else? Really understanding that and, again, being on the same page with your spouse is important, and making sure that your employment decisions fit all of those things as well as possible.
That's fantastic. This really is such great advice. Dr. Mehta, we do need to take a quick break, but when we come back, I really would love for you to tell us more about how military spouses can use the three M's to improve our careers and our quality of life.
Sounds great.
Listeners, you can connect with Dr. Mehta by going to @wholespouse, that's WHOLESPOUSE, on Facebook. LinkedIn is @MichelleStillMehta, PhD. And her website is StillMehta, which is STILLMEHTA.com.
Listeners, stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Army Wife Talk Radio in just a moment.
Here in the United States, our freedom and safety are made possible through the service and sacrifice of our military, first responders, and their families. The Gary Sinise Foundation shows its gratitude through concerts and festivals at bases around the globe, community outreach programs across the country, and building brand new custom smart homes for our most severely wounded veterans. Find out how you can join the cause. Donate at GarySiniseFoundation.org.
Want to expand your military spouse information arsenal? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers military family news and resources, experience and expert blogs, active social media, and much, much more. Visit ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Your interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives.
Welcome back to the show. We're chatting with Dr. Michelle Still Mehta, author of Silent Sacrifice on the Home Front. Dr. Mehta, before we went to break, you were sharing with us about the three M's, marriage, motherhood, and military life that you mention in your book. How can military spouses use these three M's to improve our careers and our quality of life?
Well, so essentially, as I said, what I found was that the spouses I talked to that were the happiest and had the best quality of life really made decisions that made those three M's fit together. And I think the examples in my book show that it's not a one-time decision where you can just like get married and go, okay, I'm going to be a military spouse. I'm going to figure this out. Check. Okay, those are my three M's. But really, it's something you have to do on sort of a seasonal basis. Every time you PCS, every time you have a child or have a change in your life. So I like to talk to people about sort of zooming in and zooming out, like zoom in on the next 2 years and really think about what fits for the next 2 year horizon in your life that fits right now, but also kind of zoom out and have a kind of a big picture of what the long term looks like for you, because it's helpful to go back and forth and sort of dream about your long term goals, but also be flexible and really just kind of like look at the fit for the next couple of years, so you can kind of go back and forth and know. One of the great things about military life is that it never stays the same. So if something's not working for you, then change it. But really kind of look in those short-term increments while also thinking long-term about what fits for you.
Awesome. I think that's something that we as military spouses do well, and that's be flexible. So we're good at going with the ebb and flow of life and military life and that roller coaster that we tend to be on. So I want to ask you, With all of the programs that's aimed at improving spouse employment, why do you feel we aren't really seeing a change in the unemployment rates?
Well, so I think, as I alluded to earlier, I don't think the programs, for the most part, are addressing the root causes of the problem. I think most programs are about placing people in jobs or preparing spouses to be better qualified for jobs. But really, we haven't done a very good job yet at looking at some of the root causes, like frequent relocation and the demands of military life and having to be that married single mom on a regular basis, as well as kind of the imbalance of gender roles that often go with that, where you hold so much of the household and family responsibility that you just don't have a lot of space left for anything else. So I do think that in order to really start addressing those things, we need to look at different ways of doing assignments, as well as starting to change the culture that I think very often still assumes there's a spouse at home there to take care of all the stuff, so that the service member can be all in and not necessarily available to help with things like that. And then for working parents, not just dual military, but for civilian working parents, to also have more childcare options available, because when so many of us are away from our family support networks, that is often a deal breaker in being able to work.
That's so true. And what do you feel it would look like if the DOD and policymakers really wanted to seriously remedy the spouse employment problem?
Yeah, so I mentioned a couple of examples already. In changing the way they do assignments, I know the Air Force is already piloting a talent marketplace concept, where instead of a command and control sort of bureaucratic way of doing assignments, service members would have visibility to upcoming jobs, more than just here's my dream sheet or here's my input, but really it would be much more transparent, where you could bid on assignments and also include in your preferences really what's good for your spouse's career as well. So really building that into the way the military assigns people, which I think is good for spouses as well as good for the mission, where you can have a better matching process and more data available. And I think it's, as I said earlier, really treating this as a problem that should be solved. So rather than just kind of saying, we realize this is about readiness and we're going to promote spouse employment, really putting some metrics and goals around it and saying we need to reduce unemployment by X percent by this date and hold our leaders accountable for bringing that down.
Absolutely. And I think making I worked for John Deere for 9 years, and I was being able let me get my thoughts together here. If I could give them, you know, these are the branches that I can go to. Is there a base near there that my husband's job can accommodate with? Like, that would have been fantastic.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Now, what is the most memorable or striking interview you conducted with the military spouses?
Well, you know, gosh, that's so hard because they are all memorable in their own ways. But I'll give you my most memorable positive one overall. And she's called Olivia in the book. And she was, her husband was Chief Master Sergeant, about to retire after 28 years. And she had held a job at every single one of their duty stations over those 28 years. She started out as a service member herself, and then got out and raised their kids, but always worked. And she basically said the key to this was being on the same page with her husband, that he always supported her having her own sense of self-worth and her own little sense of identity. And he was the one that recognized when she was pulling her hair out when her kids were toddlers. He was like, honey, you need a job because you're going to drive us all crazy. And he really made a point of saying, okay, she got a job at the base club working as a cashier at night. That was her first job, you know, and her husband made sure he was home by 4:30. You know, as soon as he got off work, he came straight home, grabbed the kids so she could go out the door. And it started with that, and they maintained that kind of partnership throughout his career and hers. And I just think she is an inspiration of somebody who, despite even when other senior spouses started saying to her, don't you think you should be a little more supportive of your husband's career? And he would say things like, well, I don't need her to be waiting by the phone at home to help me. Like, she's got her thing and I've got mine. So really having that kind of role model, I think, is an inspirational story that all of us can learn from.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. What are some of the misperceptions among the general public you think about military spouses and our employment challenges? Is there anything that really stands out to you, or is there a few?
Yeah, there are a few. I mean, I think one is this a belief of that we chose this life, so we must have known what we were getting into. And I think we all know that's really not how this works. I mean, and so many of the women I interviewed said, I thought I knew what I was doing and I had no idea. You know, I just had no idea. And so, and some of these were women who transitioned from service members themselves or had grown up in military families. You just don't know until it happens to you. So I think it's really important for people to have a sense of compassion that, you know, this is an unpredictable journey. And also, I do think that there's still a stereotype that military spouses would just prefer to stay at home. Like, that's, you know, isn't that sort of the mom and apple pie image that we all aspire to? And although that's a totally great, legitimate choice for so many of us for periods of our life, the truth is, we are more educated than the average civilian, and we come from lots of different backgrounds, and we have the same types of professional goals as any other woman in this country. So I think it's really important to kind of dispel those stereotypes that honestly still exist, I think.
Oh, yeah. We just had a luncheon with the Chamber of Commerce, and our commanding general's wife went and spoke, and a bunch of us went to support her. And it was about, you know, women in the workplace and business owners. And when she started rattling off everyone's degrees and what they did and what they've done, I mean, people were like, wow, like, that's impressive.
Right.
Like, I agree. I think they don't understand that we are just like everyone else.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, before you go, please remind our listeners where they can go to get a copy of your book.
Sure. Well, the easiest place to go is on Amazon. You can search for Silent Sacrifice on the home front, or you can go to my website and find a link there. Again, the website is stillmeta.com.
Well, Dr. Mehta, it's been a pleasure, and thank you so much for joining us this evening. And I really am grateful that you are telling about the sacrifices that our military spouses make for our service members and really for our country. So thank you for telling our stories.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed the conversation.
Yes,
have a great
thank
evening.
You.
You too.
Well, tonight's show was brought to you by our AWTR show sponsor, One Natural Way. One Natural Way has helped thousands of military families throughout their breastfeeding journey. See how they can help you by visiting www.onenaturalway.com to get started today.
And listeners, thanks so much for being with us tonight. Be sure to tune in next week, Monday, April 15th, 2019, for our interview with Georgia Foster, clinical hypnotherapist and author of Drink Less in 7 Days. If you would like to reduce your alcohol intake or know someone who would without giving it up completely, this show is for you.
In the meantime, join us on www.armywifenetwork.com to stay connected to resources, information, expert columnists, and share the journey with many of our experienced contributors, or follow along on any of our social media outlets such as Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
We are your interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. This is Army Wife Network's core team signing out. Have a great evening.
Thank you for tuning into Army Wife Talk Radio. The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services. And inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DoD, any local government, or their agencies. Until the next episode, head over to ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Your interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives.